The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on The Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford 107.1 FM or on your smart speaker.
Joining me as normal is an incredibly best-selling author, Nigel Jones, of Walking Back to Happiness, a leading life coach, certified hypnotherapist, and the creator of the 9 kilometres by 9 a.m. movement that's helped countless people, including me. Nigel Jones, how the devil are you?
Hi, Sam. I'm great. Great to be back.
Great to have you back. Did you have a nice holiday?
I did indeed, yeah.
Wonderful. Indeed, that's indeed. What I like to hear. Now, today we're diving into a subject that so many people struggle with. Even myself, we're going to talk about that as well, weight management. But we're not throwing the diets out of the window. We're going to talk about sharing powerful insights about how mindset's important.
Yep.
And the way and the offerings that you do to help people manage their weight. We're not going to call it a diet, are we?
No, we're not.
We're not. So let's talk about how diets work.
Okay. Well, do they work? The answer is no, not in the long term.
Yes.
Yes, they do in the short term, but not in the long term.
Yeah.
So even the word diet has got, you know, it sounds like die.
It's got die in it.
Yeah, and immediately, you know, if you're on a diet, you're triggering your brain to think that things are scarce. There's scarcity, and you know, you're just making food top of the agenda. You're sort of putting it front of mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So just being on a diet is an absolute nightmare for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you know what the stats show is that in the long term, and this was a study from Harvard University, that 80 to 95% of people put the weight back on within 1 to 5 years that they've lost through a diet anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been there. This conversation is going to be incredibly powerful because I've been there so many times. Yeah. I know so many people that have. Now, obviously, at the moment, there's lots of stuff in the news. It's quite prevalent about the weight loss drugs that people are using, which can be helpful for many. Is it the same? Are they, you know, doing something that eventually is going to go back on anyway? You know, what's the thought process here?
Yeah, so obviously this is all new.
Yeah.
And what these drugs are having, I mean, there's three main ones we all mentioned in the media. They're like Ozempic, Wegovy and Mounjaro. They basically mimic natural hormones in the body. So they regulate your appetite, they slow your digestion, and they tell your brain that you're full.
Yeah.
But as soon as you come off them, they don't do that anymore. And therefore, if you've not changed your mindset and you've changed your relationship with food, then you're going to put weight back on.
Yeah.
And what we're finding and what we're seeing in the research that's coming out is that you can lose, people are losing, say, between 15 to 20% on average of their body weight over a year of being on these drugs.
Yeah.
Now, if we put that into context, if you're like 15 stone, then you're losing 3 stone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a large amount of weight. And if you're 20 stone, you're losing 6 stone. No, sorry, 4 stone.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of weight to lose.
Yeah.
And if you've not changed anything else apart from having an injection, you're going to find it very hard if you go back to the old way of being.
Yeah.
Because immediately you're just going to go back to your old ways and put weight on again. Because, you know, what we'll come on to talk about is that a lot of our programs or the way we treat food is run by programs in our subconscious mind.
Yeah.
Stuff that we've picked up from childhood.
Yeah.
So unless you change that, then taking one of those three drugs in the long term is not going to help. Mm. And you know, there's some frightening stats about this already. I mean, it's I just read this morning something like that in the United States, there's 12% of US adults have tried one of these drugs. 12%.
That's huge amount.
I think that's over 30 million people.
Yeah.
And then, but the biggest cohort are women aged 50 to 64.
Mm.
And that's 1 in 5 of that group, women aged 50 to 64, are taking these things.
Yeah. And I think that also ties in, obviously, we'll probably talk about this a little bit later on, because I know that you're working with the wonderful Joe Adams soon.
Yes.
Is that we get to menopause, perimenopause, you know, that kind of age, we think, oh my goodness, it's going to take so much time to get it off. We want quick fixes. We feel that we, you know, we want to feel youthful. So that's, I can see why that age range is the prevalent age range for sure.
Yeah.
Let's crack on. Is there a secret? Is there a secret to weight loss?
Yeah, there definitely is. And it's all about changing, as I say, the programs that are running in the back of your mind. So let's throw a few out there. Like, a lot of people, you know, in their early years are given beliefs by their parents, such as, you know, it's wrong to waste food, I must finish everything on my plate, or, you know, I've paid for this, I've got to eat it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of them out there. Mm-hmm. And it's those things that, unless we change those, we're not gonna change our habits around food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how many times have you been, you know, sitting, you know, down having lunch or something and just eaten the rest of your plate because a program has told you that you need to do it. Or the classic one is like when you go to a hotel and you stay the night in the hotel because you've paid for it, and there's a all-you-can-eat breakfast or buffet. People just fill their plate up.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. But it's only a program that's running. So with things like hypnotherapy and NLP, you can change those programs that are running in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing in this new course we're doing. Yeah.
We'll talk about that very, very shortly. Let's get a song up. And Nigel Jones is with me. I'm going to continue on talking about what is the secret to weight loss.
There are many, many sides to this. I mean, just in the time we're given, I'll touch on a few. So an important thing is to remember that it's all about choices.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you make the choice on what you're going to eat. So whether you have like something sugary or whether you have a fruit, it's all down to you. It's a choice. So it's all about, you know, making sure that you're aware that there are healthy options and choosing that. The other thing about it as well is making sure that you eat regularly, because the body gets tricked as well. If you're sort of eating food at different times of the day and there's no regular pattern, the body gets tricked into that it might not be getting any food.
Yeah.
And therefore, yeah, it actually starts to store fat. So just by not eating or having like it in a regular pattern, you can actually start storing fat in your body.
Yeah.
So the secret is all about sort of making the right choices. It's literally sticking to a regular pattern. Water, again, is so important.
So powerful.
You know, we wash our clothes with water. We wash our bodies with water. Why don't we get into thinking that we need to wash the inside of our bodies with water? Yeah. Just as we do every day, have a shower or water is so important.
Yeah.
But having that new program running in the back of your mind that water washes my inside is a massive change, and make that one of your programs or beliefs. Just like I have to clean my plate is an old belief, water washes the inside of my body is a new belief.
Absolutely.
Another thing that people can do really easily is to imagine a scale of hungry and full. And so, you know, this is called the starving to full scale, where zero is I'm absolutely ravenous and 10 is I'm full. And, you know, literally make sure that you don't go under 3 or 4. Mm. There's no point in getting really, really, really hungry, because you'll just fill up and you'll binge and you'll eat a lot. And don't go shopping at the supermarket if you're under 3 or 4, because you're going to buy loads and loads of food that your mind is telling you you want, but you don't actually want it.
Been there.
Yeah.
That's why I was laughing. Been there.
So now there's loads of stuff. Yeah.
You know, this subject we could probably talk about for hours, but kind of very quickly, what's the difference between emotional and physical hunger?
So this is really important, because physical hunger is the body's natural signal that it needs nourishment. It's like a physiological response to a lack of food or energy. And all other eating basically is emotional. And that's triggered by, it could be by stress, by boredom, by loneliness, sadness. It's like sitting there, like, you know, watching a TV program, just sort of dipping into like some crisps or some nuts or eating a bar of chocolate.
I'm laughing. I mean,
that's emotional eating. Yeah. You know, we all do it. Lots of us do it. But again, it's a program that you're running saying that's okay to do that.
And that, you know what, while we're talking about, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I used to say to myself, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't take drugs, but I love food. So if I feel sad, I'm going to have food.
Yeah.
And that was my emotional response.
Yeah.
It's okay for me to have this pack of biscuits because I don't do anything else. It's bad for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a whole, you know, that's how I would think.
Yeah. And that, again, this is the power of these words that we tell ourselves.
Yeah,
you know, that belief is driving forward, you know, you to eat like that.
Yeah.
So there's a great sort of way of rethinking this. So you can start thinking about it like Physical hunger is when a warning light comes on your car. Say you're driving along the road and it's got fuel is down to like 20%. Bang, that means I'm hungry. That's physical hunger. You need to fill the car up.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's emotional hunger, it might be just a dodgy dashboard sensor that's come on.
Yeah.
It's not really hunger. And it's like, then you tap it a bit and it goes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got to sort of notice that once you notice the difference between emotional and physical, then you're more than 90% there of winning the game. So I always say to clients, when the emotional hunger comes around, look at it as like a knock on the door. So if you like, imagine like, you know, that's emotional hunger. And then you literally trigger that, make that your anchor, that every time you see an emotional time to eat, like, oh, I'm a bit sad, or I feel like some food.
Tired, yeah.
The door's knocking. And then just shut the door. Don't let it in, because that's all it is. It's just saying to you, I'll have some emotional eating. And that's what puts weight on.
And that's, you know, that's one of the ways we can break the cycle, right?
Yeah, completely. Completely. Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's a study that says like something like 75% of overeating is driven by emotions, emotional eating.
Yeah. And I, you know, look, we've worked together on my weight management, you know, and we'll talk about that a little bit more after the news. But it is so enlightening when you actually sit and think about it. You know, we've spoken off air about the fact that up until the 1960s, being overweight or obese wasn't a thing.
No, and if you look back at like old photographs, you know, from family photos, then I've got some like my parents and their, you know, their parents from the 40s or the 50s.
Yeah.
No one is overweight.
No.
I mean, everyone's like a stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and I guess, and well, I don't guess, it's a fact that there weren't packaged meals or processed foods around.
Much.
It was all make your own at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And rations. You know, they were so used to having food rationed for them for such a long period of time that they got used to that.
Yeah, and they followed the programs, which are regular eating, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, maybe 11s or a cup of tea in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah. Big families, you know, they'd have to make food stretch. So they, you know, they bulk out their meals with lots more vegetables and pulses to make it stretch, because they were bigger families and, you know, the food wasn't there. So, yeah, it's all about how we perceive food and how food is kind of pushed onto us. There is an article actually in the news currently about that, which we're probably going to hear in the next news update, which is going to come up next. We'll be back after this. Here's Nigel still with me. We're talking about weight management. Now, we talked about how you can break cycles with like emotional hunger.
Yeah.
Things like meal planning, does that work?
Yeah, completely, completely. So as we said earlier on, you know, once you've got a plan in place, you know, you're going to be eating regularly. You know what you're eating, and therefore your body is not going to regularly store fat for you, because it's not feeling like it's going to get hungry. It knows when it's going to be eating.
Yeah.
There are some, you know, tricks that you can use straight away. So if you get an emotional hunger pang, or someone knocks at the door, as we said earlier on, just delay 15 minutes or 10-15 minutes. True physical hunger will grow slowly throughout the day.
Yeah.
So it's only that hunger that you get, which is all of a sudden comes about, is emotional hunger. So just notice that that's there.
Yeah.
Alternative activities are really important as well. So if you feel a hunger pang or an emotional eating come on, go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know,
have a glass of water.
Have a glass of water, yeah. And start mindfully eating as well. Eat slowly. You know, every morning for the last 4 years, I've gone for a walk and had a 15-minute cup of tea somewhere in the countryside.
Nice.
And that's slowly pouring it, slowly drinking it, feeling it go through your body. Mm. And this is exactly how we should eat. We shouldn't rush food.
No.
So again, another one of these programs we're running is like, I have to rush food because everything is, you know, I need to get this done by a certain time. And so people are eating at their desk, or they're eating on the go, they're walking down the road eating. You see loads of people in London just walking around with sandwiches,
driving their cars.
You know, but that's a program you're running saying, I am too busy to eat at normal hours. Mm. I will eat in the car. So get rid of that program.
Yeah.
There's another thing that I wanted to highlight, and I know you when I first said this to you, that you got quite shocked by it, and it was understanding what we are eating. And this is really important, because once you start, you know, picking out what actually is going inside your body, you change your mind quite quickly. And one of the things I always say to clients is that there was this research done a few years ago in the US, and it estimated that if you ate a takeaway every week for a whole year. So that's 52 yeah. takeaways.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if you're eating your lunch at the moment. You will consume on average 12 pubic hairs. How about that?
This shocked me.
So next time you're in a fast food or having yeah. a takeaway,
have a think about it.
Have a think about that. For some people, that will change their mind immediately. Yeah. I mean, I haven't eaten certain fast foods or takeaways for over a few yeah. years since I heard that
yeah.
fact.
Yeah.
And it can change your mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah, completely.
And I think also a couple of top tips from me, because obviously I've been on this journey, is meal planning is really important. Not only financially, because it helps with finances, because you're basically only getting in what you need. I also do online shopping or click and collect, so I don't actually physically go into a supermarket. Because, and then go, oh, that's a good deal. I'm going to get that for the kids, like packs of biscuits. And I have all those temptations in front of me. And so I definitely think meal planning, buying what you need, and maybe doing an online shop delivery or yeah. pickup is much better.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying really, really hard to kind of stick to something. I think that's a really, really good way of doing it.
Yeah. And there was a French study done on over 40,000 adults. This was in 2017. And it found that if you plan your meals, you're more likely to maintain a healthy weight yeah. and have a better overall quality of life.
And also, I was brought up, my mum always gave us something sweet after dinner.
Yeah.
I instilled that with my boys, because my yeah. boys are exactly the same. They'll have dinner and they'll go, oh, have you got anything, like, have you got any chocolate or anything in the house?
Yeah.
So it's also remembering that actually that's a habit. That's not a need. I don't need to have that chocolate after dinner. But also it's finding alternatives. I think that, again, is really important. Yes, we can change our habits and completely get rid of it. But there are times when I do fancy a bit of chocolate.
Yeah.
But what I'll do is I'll have 80% dark chocolate and have one yeah. square with maybe a banana or a couple of grapes. Or I'll make an alternative chocolate mousse like I made for Jay this week with avocados, banana, cocoa powder and a bit of honey.
Yeah.
So it's finding alternatives to kind of stop those cravings, because you do get them. Because when you've had something for such a long time, you're going to.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, because it's back, to what we said earlier on. It's all about choices. And I think to anybody listening here today, just remember that it's your choice, and make the healthy choice. If yeah. you're standing in front of the sandwich aisle or whatever it is at Sainsbury's or Aldi or Marks and Spencer yeah. or whatever, what choice are you going to make today? Because yeah. it's down to you.
Of course it is. And I think also, I've been on this journey with you, and I've, my weight has been an issue for me for a very long time, but I'm a really good place with it right now. And I also think that not feeling guilty sometimes about having a treat, because if you're doing really well and you're working really hard and your friends yeah. invite you out for dinner, don't not go because you feel uncomfortable about it.
Yeah.
Go, but maybe just don't have something as big, or don't have what you would normally have.
Yeah.
Go to a pizza place and have a slice of pizza rather than a whole one,
yeah.
and have salad with it, or just make different choices.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up about going out, because you can.
Yeah.
I know I haven't had an alcoholic drink since Christmas. I don't drink fizzy pop anymore. I have tonic water.
Yeah.
That's been a huge thing, because I was a big consumer of drinks like fizzy Cokes, that yeah. kind of thing.
And so what you're doing here is, again, it's back to choices. Yeah. It's the same as someone who stopped drinking alcohol. You can go to a pub and sit down and have an alcohol-free beer.
Yeah.
Or if you stop smoking, then you just don't smoke. Just sort of say, I don't yeah. smoke anymore.
Yeah.
And it's the same with food. It's yeah. just about making that different choice and having a different mindset on yeah. it. And this is again, it's so powerful. And part of the secret, the central part of the secret, is really just changing your beliefs around food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all it is.
And obviously we all know as well that movement is important.
Completely.
Yes, we can lose weight by changing our diet. Absolutely. But fundamentally, it will stay off and you'll feel better about yourself if you move a bit.
Yeah. And if you look at like World Health Organization advice, that they say 150 minutes a week of movement is a good level to actually lose weight and actually be fitter. And so that's like 5 30-minute walks a week or two and a half 1 hour walks.
Yeah. And I've walked to work every day this week, done over 10,000 yeah. steps. You do it every morning.
Yeah.
You
see the difference straight away.
I feel better.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the fact that I've done 10,000 steps, that I've been outside.
No.
I've had my headphones on, listened to a really good podcast, so I've got listened to some really good music. And I've had an actual if you think about it, I don't really talk to anyone in that half an hour.
Yeah.
I've had some really nice mindful time for me.
Yeah, and that, this is the important thing about this. I mean, once it, you only have to do this like 5 or 6 days in a row, and it just becomes the normal thing to do.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just get up now and just go for a walk, and sometimes I'm sort of like, you know, 3 kilometres into a walk before I even realise I'm actually on a walk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how did I get here? I'm just sort of, it's like natural, just like you get up and have a shower in the morning.
Yeah.
So you just have to start it, and the body loves repetition.
Yeah.
And you know, you get into that new habit. And that's a great habit to be in, doing regular exercise.
Yeah. I think also, you know, once you start losing weight and you start feeling better, you know, that for, you know, when we said off air earlier, yes, losing the weight for me is very important.
Mm.
And that's kind of why I'm doing this journey with you. But it's also how I feel. You know, if I start to feel less tired, less lethargic, I'm going to want to go out and do more exercise, because I feel that that's the next step for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I have more energy. I want to do something. So even if you're starting out and it's your first week maybe, and you think, oh, you know, think about how you feel. That's the most important thing. Your sleep's better. Your skin's better. Your clothes feel a bit more comfier.
Yeah.
You know, yes, the scale is important. Obviously, we need to kind of track how we were losing our weight. But I actually think your clothes are a much better system of, you know, measuring that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I feel anyway.
No, exactly. And, you know, by having like stepping on the scales each day and measuring yourself, it can be really self-defeating as well, because you might think, oh, I've put on weight today, or I've only lost this much today. You're hitting yourself with that continuous yardstick and almost like beating yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas really, as you rightly say, you know, don't measure yourself. Just change your attitude and what you do on a daily basis. And if you're walking, if you're changing your diet, and if you're doing some mindfulness and meditation, everything will change for you.
Absolutely. We're going to get a song, and we're going to come back and talk about a new program that you're going to be doing with the lovely Joe Adams very shortly. Here's the Jacksons. Nigel is still with me talking about weight management. Let's talk about a virtual gastric band.
Right.
Let's delve into it.
Okay, so before we get into it, it's important to understand the size of your stomach.
Yes.
So your stomach is roughly the size of your fist. So if you clench your fist together, that is how big your stomach is, or
so
how
that's
small
how
your stomach
your
is.
Portion should be.
Yeah. So if you eat a fist full of food, you've effectively filled your stomach up.
Yeah.
So there are operations that you can have that are called gastric band operations, where you actually restrict the size of your stomach. So you go into an operation theatre and you have a band fitted. It's surgically inserted and actually makes your stomach smaller.
Yeah.
So when you eat, the food goes down into a much smaller space, normally about the size of a golf ball or maybe a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Some people have it reduced. So you can reduce it to the size you want. What we do in hypnotherapy is we actually do not do the surgery, but we actually do it through making the client believe that they've had the operation and that their stomach is now the size of a golf ball. And you know all about this, don't you?
I do, because I was fortunate enough to have this with you, and I carry a golf ball in my handbag with me all the time. And people are like, oh, hypnotherapy, oh my goodness, oh no, I couldn't do that. Do you know what? It was incredible. We've done hypnotherapy together before for different things. And I think this was the most deepest I'd ever gone.
Yeah.
And I instantly came out of there feeling, okay, so I've got this golf ball. That's my stomach. That's it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've struggled with it at all. You know, my mindset is now that that is the size of the portions that I have. I'm not hungry. I naturally fast anyway. I'm a faster. I love to fast. I finish eating at 8 o'clock at night ordinarily. And then by maybe 12 o'clock the next day, that's when I will start to eat. And I would normally have a sandwich or McDonald's or whatever. I had Baby Bell and a boiled egg.
Yeah.
And that's me done, you know.
But do you actually know, you believe your stomach is the size of a golf ball, so therefore you're full much easier, more quickly.
I could eat for Britain. I love food. I love food. And obviously that's been a major downfall in my life for many, many years. But I just don't feel hungry.
And I must say, you look great. I mean, you look. So, have you lost 4 or 5 pounds?
Yeah, about 5 pounds in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, wow.
And I feel better. You know, feel better. I don't have that relationship with food any longer, which was a huge thing for me. I had a really negative emotional relationship with food. And this has completely changed my life, the way that I am, the thought process. So I, you know, I can highly recommend having it. I know that you're working with the lovely Jo, one of my very good friends who works, has done some work with me on menopause and physical, exercise and stuff like that. And you're collaborating. Which is exciting.
Yeah, that's right. We're launching a transformational weight management group, a hypnotherapy group at the Lake House next month.
Yeah.
We're also doing it online, so you can come along to the Kent face-to-face, or you can do it online. Yeah. Yeah. But really, it's addressing the whole sort of rewiring of the brain around food and sort of using hypnotherapy to actually change the programs that we're running around food.
Yeah.
And you know, just digging deep into it, we look into accepting yourself, loving yourself. We look into inner advisors, what you say to yourself. And really, it's all about changing the programs.
Yeah.
It's not a diet. And
no, it's not.
People who go through the hypnotherapy group, you know, they lose weight.
Yeah.
They lose weight.
And I probably feel the most confident in the future of me as my physical being now more than ever. I feel that it's really manageable. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything because I can have what I would normally have, but I just don't want as much of it.
Yeah, and we've worked on things like the programs whereby, you know, we'll say to people when they're in hypnosis that look at food as being like how you would fuel your car.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you put the nozzle of petrol at the garage into your car tank, you stop when it's full.
Yeah.
You know, but for some reason, if it was food, we take the nozzle out of the car and stick it in the boot, fill that up, put all it over the back seats, the front seats.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to do that. So treat food just like the way you would fuel. Yeah. Once you're full, you're full.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't fill up anymore.
No, absolutely. If anyone's listening in that might want to pass on information about what we spoke about today or might want to join you and Joe on this course, how can they get hold of you?
Yeah, so go to my website, which is 9kmby9am.com, and there's a section on there on the weight management group, or you can contact Joe directly. It's Joe Adams Coaching, or me, Nigel Jones, at 9kmby9am.com. Yeah.
Love that. Thank you so much. They're
running from September for 7 weeks.
Yeah, I love that. Honestly, life changing. And thank you so much for your support with it. Oh, it's been incredible. Are you going to come back in a couple of weeks?
Definitely, yeah, yes. Definitely.
Love that. Well, think about
it. I wouldn't miss it.
I love it. I love our Fridays. Okay, let's get a song on. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, Nigel.